Thank you for raising that. Catherine Peterson?
Yes, we would like everyone who's making a presentation to identify themselves so we have a record of it, please.
I'm going to introduce everyone just now. I'm Catherine Peterson. I'm the president of the board of Oregon Coast Aquatic Park. I have two board members with me, Carolyn Butler and Jeff Bertolain. Our architect has not arrived, but her associate, Glenn Howard Small, is with us. This morning, we have with us a member of the community who would like to make a statement about his insights and his ideas on the aquatic park. And his name is Brian Hanna. He uses the municipal pool 3 times a week. He's a member of the board of the Newport Symphony. And Mr. Hanna, if you would start, please.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I had prepared something longer than I think I'm going to feel. I feel a certain pressure of time with you folk around here, so I'll be brief. I'm really speaking for the architectural quality of this because the two architects who actually designed it are really, it's kind of difficult for them to extol its merits. It's easier for a third party. I've taught architecture. I graduated from Oxford in architecture. I've lived most of my life in Canada, and I've been, for a long time, I was the architect of a major hotel chain in Canada. And we were always confronting issues of how to extend the seas and how to get more revenue out of the hotel business. And one of the things, there were two things. One was one of the, especially in resort communities, one was the issue of conventions, and the other was what the community could provide by way of facilities. And it was all, those were always the questions, and I think in Newport there's still the questions. I think I've seen other proposals for dealing with the narrow issue of swimmers. I've seen a perfectly decent design that's been prepared and has been circulated in the community. I really don't offer any view of that except to say that I don't think it solves as many of the problems that I perceive Newport as having as would this. I think also I want to say that Newport is in the process of becoming a destination as I see it. I see the difference, there's a great difference between something that is a way station on the route to somewhere else, which is what to some extent I think it has been, and a place that is a destination. And I think there are all kinds of cultural events, particularly the orchestra that John and myself sit on the board of, that are really stating, making great claims for the character of the place, the culture of the place. I believe that this building is probably would be the most, I think it would be the best modern building in Oregon, frankly. I think it is an astounding visual achievement. I think it is, it would assert the claims that Newport is a destination as opposed to a way station. I think it would do some other things for the community. I think one of the things that breaks my heart is to teach kids in the literacy center in Walport and discover that I'm always having to hug them and say goodbye as they go off to other parts of Oregon or beyond so that they can survive economically. I would love to see the kind of economic activity that I believe this would generate, creating careers for our young people, jobs for our young people. So I'm not going to get into the technicalities of this, others can do that, but I do think that this is a great vision, this is a great building, and I think nothing will create a destination quicker than a great building. I don't know whether you've ever heard of Bilbao, but I remember walking through the airport at Stansted in England, and I saw a sign for £35 return, I could go to Bilbao. And I said, why is everybody going to Bilbao? And it was, of course, Frank Gehry's building in Bilbao, the Guggenheim Museum. So Venice, Agra in India, all of these places are places that are defined by great buildings. That is what makes a big part of what makes them a destination. And I think you're being offered that opportunity. And I have to say that one thing I remember, just final point, I remember when Adam Flatt brought the towering conclusion of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony he brought that to a kind of a blazing conclusion, and we were all standing and most of us were weeping. And I thought, thank God I didn't vote against this on the board. Thank you.
For those of you who don't know, we're a grassroots nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing people together to develop a fiscally sustainable tourist facility. Our role is to secure the land and funding for the new facility, and after construction, our initial goal will be completed. You all know what Newport already has. We would like to see the Oregon Coast Aquatic Park be the next attraction for the region. These are pictures and conceptual drawings. This is from another facility, but it's to let you understand that you not only have a large lap pool or competitive pool in this building, but you have many other things going on in this building. We are not building a swimming pool. This is a conceptual drawing of the aquatic park, kids in the wave pool. And I think this is maybe what we need to talk about the most. What we understand people to say is that the facility will somehow steal business from local people. We've actually been approached by local businesses to rent additional space in this facility, that the facility would be owned by outside interests. As envisioned, the facility will be owned by the nonprofit and operated by trained professionals. That the facility will cost too much for locals to use. Our mission has been, since the onset of this project, to offer all the people in Lincoln County a low price so that they can use the facility. And the subsidy that is now paid in taxes will be paid through tourist fees, not through local fees. This is not a tax-based program. We are based on a private enterprise model, entrepreneurial, not a municipal model. We are not asking for a tax base. It is designed to be financially self-sufficient. We will provide economic development through new jobs, living wages, and benefits. That did that all by itself. I don't know how it did that. We had a marketing study done by Intercept Research Corporation, and Mr. Boland was staggered by this in particular, that 51% of the people surveyed, and this is we're talking about Portland, Pendleton, Bend, Eugene, Salem, and Roseburg, and the Coos Bay area, responded that they would come to Newport if there was an aquatic park. We know that just fees cannot, and you know this as well, cannot support a public pool. It has to be subsidized. By building an aquatic park with varying sources of income, operation costs of the competition pool are covered. All of these things in blue that don't show up very well are income streams. This is not just going to be based on fees, and it will provide the income to subsidize the competition portion of the facility. We have no water therapy in southern Lincoln County, and we have therapists lined up to use it. If you have been to McMinnville or Eugene or Great Wolf or Dallas or Corvallis so that you, your kids, or your grandkids can swim, you are contributing to another community's economy. Why not bring that here? Let's go swimming.
Do you have any other presentation right now?
No.
Okay. You're asking for the amount, a specific amount. What are is that money specifically intended to pay for?
That's on
133-125, first page of your application. Since it's not rounded dollars, it looks like it's specific to something.
Oh, yeah, this is Jeff, can you turn that off?
It's in your budget.
It should go up after me.
Which have you found?
How about
it? It's a project landscape on it.
This is the sheet here after the bottom of the You should have it in here. You have project description.
And then next page.
And then the next page of following that. Summary description. There you go.
Yeah. In other words, you're asking for us to do preliminary work, pay for preliminary work?
Well, this is all itemized here, so I hope everybody had a chance to look at this.
Okay. As I understand you, Ben, you're asking for the specific grant funds to spend for the for instance, the topographical survey and the soil geology report, that kind of thing.
Correct.
Preliminary information to ascertain whether or not the particular site you're looking at is appropriate for what your project is.
No, so that we can just, we have done. I'm sorry, this is Melissa Dettinger. She is our architect
for the conceptual phase, that you have seen schematic, and we have done schematically. Now next step is we have talked with our structural engineer, but we cannot, schematic is has to respond to all the issues that are addressed here, and we need the support of the consultants. So, but we start with first learning about the ground.
Okay, and what I'm looking at specifically though is you're asking us to pay for the consultants which have yet to design the project, really.
Well, they don't design the project. They have, this type of project is collaborative effort of various professionals, we coordinate, we as architects would coordinate the work of the consultants that are listed here, maybe even some more. And they are kind of listed in this here. So, that's the process, how the buildings get built. But first you have a vision, and then you, you start consulting people. If anybody has a question pertaining to the items that we have listed here, Jeff, would you like to?
Page 3 after the first tab.
Mm-hmm. How much fundraising have you been able to do since last year in addition to what you had last year?
Well, we've continued with our fundraising through the half marathon and additional concepts. We haven't got to the page part where we're actually asking for the corporate donors yet. We're establishing the framework for the land and the base groundwork for the building itself, siting it. So the next phase will be going out for match. And then that's where it becomes very important to have the city's input as a placeholder to say that the city has been involved with this, and we can go to someone and they can identify, well, okay, that means there's some buy-in with the local folks here. Will contribute. You can imagine, I can't imagine going to Phil Knight saying, Phil, I need all that money. He said, well, what's the city done for you? And, well, nothing. You know, those are the things that people come up with. And that was a question asked at the aquariums project last year at the council when I was there. And the person that generates these grants, that's his professional job, said that what we need first is the initial association with this local entity to tell us that we're interested, we have some money available. And that's what we do with our donors. We go out and tell them that, and then they go, fine, that's, we'll match that. It isn't the other way around.
Typically, we don't grant this money, though, until we get to the building permit phase. And what you're asking us for is money much more preliminary to that.
Well, I think the most important part here is the money is going to be identified for certain. The phases here we're looking at, I see what you're going with that, and then it could be arranged in further negotiations with the city manager to say how that funds are dispersed. But they could be identified to, if you're far enough along to start developing the land, you're getting pretty far along that, actually. You can make contingencies in there to say, if something were to happen, then the property you have tied up that would be able to be reimbursed, and you wouldn't be out the funds at that time, because it wasn't. It's kind of after you pay after the bill arrives.
Has the building site actually been purchased at this point?
No. We've made an offer.
You made an offer.
Do you have any maps? I'm very visual. Do you have any maps to show exactly where that is? I know you have a legal description in here, and then on the very back, you've gotten an address of the property.
There is a map. There's a map with the legal description.
But no picture of it?
No. Yeah, an overview map or
it's good in the back. There you go. Underneath that.
Oh, inside there?
Yeah. No, inside the
there you go.
That still is not it. You keep going. It's upside down.
She had it.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, legal spot. Okay. The part you're looking at, I think, was the site plan, the original.
But still, all this tells me it's in South Beach by the highway, you know?
Yeah. The station would be across from 40th Street, the street that goes up to the college.
Okay, so down on the highway, though, right?
Where the boat is.
Yeah, across the street from there. West.
West, on the ocean side.
Yeah.
So, the business model you're using for financing is not investment and then return on investment, it's donation with a set of potential donors that have not yet been secured because you're early in the process, I guess. And so the question is, what happens if you, and you've set a goal of $17 million to construct the facility and initiate operations. What happens if you don't get to that? What if you get $9 million? Does everything just kind of fall apart at that point?
Well, you hold things in that case in an escrow. You can't get a contractor to start halfway. You don't have the funds available. So, no, there's going to be an initial period where you have to say we've got the funds enough so that we complete a substantial portion of the project. And some projects, the landscaping, things like that, may be the last item they would do, but certainly any major developments would have to go, have to be in place.
Where you would you be at on pledges before you start moving ahead with it? I mean, your landscaping is a small cost compared to the structure, so. I mean, it sounds like you're going to have to get pretty much right
you will.
Up there. Okay.
Yeah. Right. There's no way around that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you've got a whole section in here where you've identified organizations and the amount. So, do you have commitment letters, or is this you just identified these?
They're just identified. It's too early in the process to go to them.
We really do need to have something from the city to show that we have a place that we're not going to be fighting constantly trying to get building permits and the use permits for our place. So if we know the city is on board with us, that's then we can go to the people who have money. And once we have any sizable amount of money, it is a snowball process. Money loves money, and it will grow.
That's just the answer to, as far as maybe people don't know, the grant people don't offer commitment letters. They say this money's available. You can apply. We like your project, but that's as far as they can go.
Okay.
There's no, I know, but just when you list them in here with an amount and a type of grant, that led me to believe that more work had been done on that. So this is just kind of a wish list.
Well, those are actual projects. I mean, funding sources that just you identify them as what they are able to fund. It's not just a list of.
Well, Julie, that isn't all that's out there. I mean, we've got two huge databases also to work from.
So these organizations you've identified, have you also qualified them, so to speak, that is, there's a record of them funding, and I hate to say this, recreational activities as opposed to other, you know, arts or...
And capital campaigns.
Yeah, we're a bit of an odd bird, if I may, mm-hmm. because we are a hybrid. You know, we're not just a recreation facility. Right. We're not this. We're not this. We're a hybrid organization, as it were. So we're going to have to go bits and pieces, I think, mm-hmm. from talking to them. Some people say, okay, well, we can do this part, but we can't do all of that. So it's going to be a real tough process of working with every single one of them to identify what can be funded. But all portions eventually will be funded.
Right, but what I'm asking is the organizations you're approaching, mm-hmm. whether it's Meyer or whoever.
And the answer is yes.
They do have a record of funding recreational activities, large scale.
Recreational and social, both.
Okay. The social, I know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I had a question on the I think it's the second page where you have, it's the question, it says what funds have already been raised for the product and include source of funds. Mm-hmm. You have $47,000 on there for city county grants.
Yes.
Okay, so that's money you've already gotten from the city and the county?
Mm-hmm.
And then 16 million, that's fundraising, that correlates to the tab that we were just talking about.
16,000.
Oh,
I wish.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 16,000. No, that's fundraising you've done so far.
Well, that is through fundraising events. We've also received, you know, 5,800 individual donations. We've had Newport, or the Destination Newport Marketing Grants and Select's Grant.
We're currently seeking all the grant opportunities that we have.
I think the other thing that you really need to take a look at here is the pro bono and architect and volunteer time that's been put into this. There's a lot. We've been doing this for 8 years. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who have bought into this vision and said, okay, we're going to give you time. We're going to give you our time, you know, at no cost to you, so that this can happen. Now, these are really high-ranking people in this community, and they wouldn't do it if they didn't think this was a viable project.
Another question is the operations. I mean, there's the cost of building it, and then operating a couple of million a year. Right now, our pool is about $350,000 operating cost. So it is, we scale it way up on that. In order to meet that, there'd have to be revenues that offset that. There's a lot of risk from a business standpoint in projecting that. I saw that, seeing the studies, you know, but until people get their checkbooks out, you never know if they're going to really hop in the car and come to Newport. So what happens, I guess, if, who's taking the risk if you don't get 2,000 people or whatever your numbers are to come and you, you fall short of that, you get a quarter of that, then what happens? Does it scale down?
No.
Do the costs scale down?
No, costs don't scale down, and neither does the risk to our community. Because we have, or will have, the funding of these donor organizations, and the backing for it is just that, is to make sure that it is a community availability. We have so much that, like he talked about, Phil Knight, but there's other people like Ben Hathaway up in Tillamook, and those people, they can see. When Ben built Circus in Las Vegas, he saw there was a need in that community for a family activity as well as for the gambling and the things for the grown-ups to do. He sees the same need here in Newport. We've got the Chamber Music, we've got the Wine and Seafood Festival, we've got the Oyster Cloister. We have nothing for the children. I mean, and these are people who see them. And so we've got, that's what will happen.
And if I can add, maybe you read it in the news, but in our community in Walport, it's much smaller scale, but Seashore Literacy Center has just accepted under the Windermere Realty is willing to underwrite $500, that's only $500, so that the after-school program can be run through Seashore Literacy Center for after-school children. So this is a wonderful concept, and a building organizations supports the community by underwriting. So I could see the possibility that Georgia Pacific might underwrite for 3 months that the Newport kids can come there for free. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are other models that...
Well, this though is predicated on not the local community, because it's not large enough. It really is predicated on tourism to fund it, to get at these levels.
But the projections in here are... You know, the cash flow projections are for resident use only. So if you then you have to add the tourist on top of it. You know, there are between 2 and 3 million people visiting this county a year. Mm-hmm. You know, if we combine our forces with the aquarium and other places like that and offer coupons and that sort of thing, offer some joint marketing, there's absolutely no reason in the world why we can't draw off part of what they have. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're getting 500,000 people a year. What's the lighthouse getting?
Over a million.
Over a million. You know, it's, we've got close to 500 or more than 500 condos, you know, just with WorldMark, and they're moving every week. You know, and they have kids in them, you know, and kids don't want to just stay there all the time. There are a lot of ways to do this.
Yeah.
You know, there are silent income streams that we haven't even talked about yet.
How many kids are coming annually outside of Lincoln County?
I don't know.
You mentioned several hundred, 200, 2 or 3 million tourists. I just wonder how many.
The exact breakdown on that. I think the query has better figures on that. We are anticipating we need, you know, 25-30% of the people that attend the aquarium. Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't be a difficulty, I don't think. I mean, there's obviously it's not old folks driving up and down 101 here.
Right.
But the other thing is, too, the indication that we received from the survey that people, and I've talked to people in conventions area, they said, if you had this down here, we would vacation here at the seaside of Florence, and that's a big difference. Another big, the interesting thing is we're concerned about that, but really there, people say we've got the beach for kids to do, and well, as you all know, you can't, today you can't go to the beach, but summertime you really can't a lot of times. So, you've got to, if we're trying to get the last little bit of the demographic of the old folks, that's hard to fill. But we've got a huge gap of nothing of this age bracket to go to. So just take a look at what happened when the dock came here. I mean, you guys probably saw it in your hotel that all the Nye Beach was filled up with people because they brought their kids to watch this concrete dock down there. It's when you have, if you have no demographic, all of a sudden a little bit's a lot. So that's where you can get that pretty easily.
Yes.
I represent the images that you see in front of you. And I'm into beauty. That's what I love. And I think people are very attracted to that, and they will go very long distances to get to that. And the two things, or about three things, we're really interested in the kids here, of giving them some exciting place to play. And, you can say, don't look at your iPad, but there are. And you can say, you go on the beach, but they don't want to. And so this gives them a facility that they can do all their crazy things in, and be happy, and their parents feel secure while they're doing that. And it makes just another stamp for Newport. Look at this is the biggest fishing thing on the Oregon coast. It's the best looking one, It's the place people want to come to, the Nye Beach, and the boardwalk, and downtown, and on. It's growing. And it's a regional thing. You got 47,000 people in this county, and it grows slowly, but it's growing. And we all experience it on the summer day when they're just charging from the valley to get over. They want to get out of there, and this would be just another element to just stick their kids in and be part of. And I see it also. I don't know if you travel 101, but down on one, when you go down through Carmel and on down through Big Sur and so on, there's an Nepenthe restaurant. It's the place to stop. It's on top of the hill. It was done by a Frank Lloyd Wright student that died climbing a ladder while he was doing it or something. But anyway, it's the place to be. And that would be what is going to happen here. You're going to have some place that everybody wants to come to. And the idea of it being green, we were talking about coming up of hydroponics, of people that are into plants, bringing it into the atmosphere, making the water as pure as we can in terms of I'm working with a German company that now has public facilities that are all natural water. There's just the salt water, which is a standard procedure that is natural as well. We can advertise it as a destination point of beauty and joy, and come see it. And I know visually, I've done a project in Nicaragua, the acoustical shell, and it's the symbol of Nicaragua now, and I know how to do it. I know how to bring those people here. If you just give us the chance, I guess that's what we're saying here.
Well, I think we're just hard-hearted about money. We're not saying you don't have a vision. Okay, there's some things that you're doing in terms of how you expect to raise money. For instance, you have a list of Nexus of $12 million of grants which you will acquire in 9 months. Well, have you applied for them? What's the game plan? How is that in process? Is it something you have yet to do?
This is the first step in that process.
So your vision is that we have to go first.
No, it's not a vision, that's the reality a lot of times.
Well, the problem is our funding doesn't come until the building permit stage, so usually there's often something.
No, it doesn't have to be.
We just have to have the promise of the money for it when the building is ready to be started. And they say, yes, the city's on board, we'll help you at the building process point. Then we can say, okay, now, we've got the land, we've made an offer on the land, we've got the city saying yes to the building permit state. Can you get us to that state?
they say, oh, well, sure, if the city's already said that they will be there for you, then it starts moving forward. And like I said, unfortunately, every grant promise person asks us, what's your city say?
But we only put some money out. We're not every other aspect of government regulation. We don't give permits and so forth. We can't make a commitment for anybody else. We're just saying maybe there's some money available.
That's all we're asking for.
Okay. You have something in your project that says city operational funding of $200,000 a year. It's on your financial statements. What is the source of that money?
That I have to pass to you.
Where is that? It's on page 39 and 44 of the financial section. That's what my reference says.
I think that's the second tab, is that it?
Okay, well,
yeah,
okay, 39, it's here.
Okay, thank you.
Did you say 39?
Mm-hmm.
Page 39.
44.
Mm-hmm. Where is it? The revenue sources. So where did you say 200,000?
44. 44.
Oh, page 44. Here. Commitment by the city of Newport.
Is that not taken out as well?
That was not taken out.
Oh, okay. That's it's a mistake. It's not. That was perhaps from the first business plan model that indicated we were looking maybe at that, but that's. Unfortunately, it should not be. Mm-hmm.
And then on page 39, you have City of Newport subsidized rental use. What does that mean?
The question mark at the top.
Well, with the question mark, it probably means it isn't going to happen. That's a question. You know, if they would.
Go ahead.
It must be the same thing, same situation that was not removed from.
That's incorrect.
Yeah, that would seem so. Yes.
Anything else we should know about?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm glad you.
Well, this is from our business plan, and we have not updated the business plan. We need to do that.
Well, we caught most of everything, and not that. Yes. Yeah. So that's been taken out of here.
Because really, the model really is to avoid any subsidy.
Well, that's what we kept hearing, so that's why we were.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you caught it. I mean, that's not the idea there.
The original thought was that we would be cooperating here, and sharing some facilities. So.
But the other mention too, because that's come up before, is folks say, well, what if I have a year's pass? Rex and I get to use the pool currently. With a cooperative marketing agreement, that could be worked out easily. And I think that Jim's over here, he doesn't give Kathy much money for her pool of operations, but whatever she got, I mean, if they wanted to do the same thing, I'm sure we could work out an arrangement there, and then people like Me Fitness would be, they want a pool also. So you have those, quote, operative marketing so they can come and use their facility and have it combined with your subscription.
Well, another question I had on page 6, you've got the model for sustainability. It has Lincoln County resident revenues from the $407,000. How did you arrive at that in the visitor? Did you just take number of people by membership? I mean, how did you arrive at those numbers?
It's an estimate of the number of people coming in from Lincoln County to use the facility.
And how many people would that be?
Divided roughly by what this is the case. This is the $12. Yeah. Computer, I don't know.
The city told us that they're currently getting $96,000 in receipts.
Well, this would be, now this is, we're talking about the entire aquatic park too, I think, in these numbers here too, not just the, not pool itself. That's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
So in other words, people would come and visit I think we figured on it was $11, I believe it was, for the aquatic park, and it's $4.50 to $5 for the pool. Mm-hmm. So we're not anticipating any more money than we're getting, the city's receiving now. Lincoln City, you look at how much they get, you have an idea, and you know how much we're getting, you know, revenue locally here. So you most likely, because there will be now two pools, one competition pool, one warm water pool, so you won't have to worry about what time you go swimming. You can lap swim any time you want. So they're most likely you have a lot more visitors, but we didn't count on that much.
Will this mean Lincoln City Pool would probably have to shut down?
No.
Because they wouldn't have
Right.
attendance?
No.
This wouldn't draw them off?
I don't know that it would, I don't think it would dramatically draw them off to people locally like you don't. If they're just doing community swim, they don't drive that far.
But my question still
they would go to the aquatic park side, though, yes.
You can't tell me the number of memberships. Like you're selling family of four passes annually, $725 a year. I mean, did you just... How did you arrive at that? You had to have some way to arrive at those numbers.
Well, yeah, those numbers have been changed, too.
No, I use the participation at the local pool,
which is for roughly 45,000 people a year.
Okay. Yeah.
On the high end, would that be, Jim?
No, I think Kathy and I would concur that about 45,000 uses annually is going to be really close.
Okay.
And we could look at that, we could maybe push that up a little bit or pull it down a little bit, depending on how you want to define uses. I mean, we have people that come there just to watch their kids swim, but we don't really haven't really been measuring that until
those aren't included in that number.
Yeah, and you know, there are people that come just to use the bathrooms.
Showers.
Yeah.
They do have a disadvantage. I mean, if they had another size, half the size of your pool that was 3 to 5 degrees warmer, they'd have probably twice the number. Also, be like
it's like
it'd be a bigger pool.
So, have you been in talks with the city about permits and all of that stuff so far? Is it in the city limits? Is the land in the city limits?
It's in the urban growth boundary. You have the annexed, which would be a difficult situation.
Have you been in talks with them about that, or?
I'm aware of the annexation procedure, and it would fall within the ability to be annexed in the proper zoning.
So that would be your intent, would be?
Oh, sure. You have to annex.
Okay.
Right now, you don't people don't annex because they pay taxes on land that they can't use. You know, mm-hmm. It's recently done there. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at numbers, and I don't mean to pick on things, but things stand out to me. I look at the construction costs, and to build meeting rooms, they're $360,000 for a meeting room, and it's
okay. Good point. I'm just bringing that up. What we did was use a multiplier.
Uh-huh.
You got to figure that instead of figuring out what each little tile is, say the overall project is going to roughly cost you $300 a square foot. So meeting rooms many square feet.
Just multiply it out.
You're right. Obviously, the hallway is not going to cost you that kind of money, but you know, the bathrooms and kitchens, they cost more, so it's all that stuff. If you had to go in there and identify each.
Right, okay. So probably shouldn't look at that level of detail.
Not level of detail.
Yeah. If I can add, if you would grant us the time to do that, the whole goal is that at the end of completing the schematic plan, because we started schematic plan, we will have a tentative cost breakdown by trades rather than by unit cost.
Mm-hmm.
From from each section.
Another advantage of what she's talking about is how we can identify that, John Jones would like to donate this particular party room, or you can say, well, this is what we need for this space, and then you can show them, you can put their plaque on.
Right.
One of the income items, the contract with the hospital, how far along is that?
Isn't.
Well,
it's until anything happens, mm-hmm. you know, we would not have one.
We had conversations.
Had their conversations. Right.
Sat down.
So they're committed. Mm-hmm.
They're committed to helping us write grants too.
Yeah, we've actually talked to the school districts, the district, and then the hospital, the fitness centers, anybody we can talk to, because I've talked to a couple different hotel people, and they're fine with this.
The commission, children and families, and we've met with all those folks, you know, for after school programs and busing issues and all that sort of thing.
Would the hospital have any kind of on-site presence there?
They, no, probably not.
They have to have a campus. So to come there, we talked with John Bigelow and something about a campus thing. So they have to have off-site situations. It just depends on the wording of their insurance policies.
Mm-hmm. But they have no plans for the hospital to have any kind of a footprint for a rehab pool.
On their facility.
You mentioned Seafood and Wine Festival. I didn't draw that. I couldn't understand that. You're not talking about providing a venue for that.
So. No. Potentially not a venue for them inside. Mm-hmm. However, the parking lot will be 2.5 acres. You can plumb that and build structures. Right now, they spend $30,000 on concrete they throw every year.
Right.
And so what you could do is when you're building the outside, you can plumb for things. You can wire for things. Okay. So when it comes up for a temporary structure, it's you don't have all that.
Okay, but it's not necessarily part of the business plan.
No, you know, it'd be an additional amount. If they would like to site there, they would generate some funds. We didn't count on that as you know, what they would pay for rent.
Okay. And then the meeting rooms, you have rooms where people can have activities. First thing I think about pools is it's smelly and it's noisy. Mm-hmm. So I just wasn't
sure.
It's on
the second floor, and there is it's on the second floor, and it's completely separated from the, you know, I don't know if you saw the plan.
I saw,
the plan, so it's completely separate, you know, and some of, one of them even have access to the daylight and fresh air intake, so that wouldn't be a problem. Actually, it would be, you could have a retreat there. Uh-huh. You know, we have this street that could be combined, and it would be a big selling point because they would have the view of the activities, you know, on the quiet side, too.
Does the project cost include any Highway 101 improvements?
We wanted to talk with the ODOT people up in Philomath, and they were willing to work with us. Currently, there's projects underway around that location that would have maybe as they come in, they would pay into a pot, and say someone like maybe Wilder would pay for a signal, but some other local later developments would come in and they refund the person that funded it up front. So we have basically a concept from ODOT that the client you're looking at would flow okay, and so it'd be on our site. So one of our improvement. If there was a signal, there's some monies in urban renewal too that go towards that. So, yeah, that's in the works. They'll have to have a signal, whether it would be one or not, sooner or later.
Would that include the OMSI project as well?
They're at 35th Street. The 35th Street's potentially funded through urban renewal. There'll be hopefully a street from 35th to 40th. Behind, let's say, the edge on the edge of Art Gallery, so right up right there.
Is it going to require any wetland mitigation?
Yes.
And what would that be?
Well, you put in the land development cost. Mm-hmm. And there's a certain thing you work with. I'm losing the name there of the people that do that, but. You work through your permit process that way, and there's a funding source that you can pay into to cover the cost of mitigation. Another thing we didn't talk about, we're right next, in this particular location, is right next to the state park, which we've talked with them, and they are amenable to having usage of their area for picnicking. So it's an area that is in trees right now. So that's another nice feature. Plus the road that would be an access, an emergency access road along the borderline would tie right into the park, which leads people from the campgrounds up to 40th for tsunami evacuation if it happened.
You mentioned retail shops. My first thought is like gift shop at the aquarium, but I don't know, is that a big part of your business model, or is it just sort of a incidental?
The gift shop is actually a big part of the aquarium. They get quite a bit of income, but we'll have spaces available there for gifts galleries. You need people to come there and need to buy swimming things, small things like that. So are there shops that like to co-locate? It's available space.
Such as, I mean, again, I'm thinking gift shops or maybe.
But they could be offices too. You see, the retail is only says mentioned retail, but it could be also a therapist, massage therapist, might be rented, and have an office there. Mm-hmm. So have the clients, they can really incorporate it with the whole therapy, with water therapy. Mm-hmm. So they're also, so this commercial space is very flexible. And it's very organic, so that it can respond to. It's very important to design it, look at it like that, so it can respond to the changes, and the needs as they rise. Changes continuous. Yeah. But the thing is that on the second floor, as you can see right now, there's lots of flexibility how the space could be. Make a larger meeting room, if that's what the community needs.
I guess the basis of your question would be, can we rent the space out? And we feel that we've had enough interest in from, like you say, the therapists and the people that like to co-locate with large populations in one spot. And so, yes.
Because when I think about the risk, why this might not make it, it's not having enough people come. That would just kill the whole thing. And then not having... The retailer is wondering how big a deal that is, but it sounds like it's a piece. But the main thing is making sure that enough people come. Although, as you indicated, having a stellar activity like this would draw people. Mm-hmm. So
that's why I wanted to know what you were basing those projections on for a number of people.
Mm-hmm. There were
millions, millions.
Huh? Well, when I went to you go to Great Wolf Lodge and they're in the middle of nowhere, then you go to the Mintville.
And how many people do they get?
It's like they get up to 3,000 in Great Wolf Lodge, but
a day.
One fifteen hundred, two thousand.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Those numbers are there because what we're doing is patterning our numbers after what the ebb and flow of the aquarium numbers. We're basing that one. Obviously, when you have fewer folks, you have fewer staff. I mean, you model it during the year. But the other thing we're going to be doing here, we applied for a grant. We'll be going out for a study to verify, if you might, by Eco Northwest, which is a firm that does this on a professional basis, and they say, here what we are projecting, and how does it look to you? So that we'll have that prior to receiving any money. We'll have that done.
Because, like you mentioned, the aquarium, I was there yesterday. It's a Monday in the dead of winter. I think there was five of us in there. So you have to have, you have excess revenues here, but that's going to be eaten up by the winter.
Well, you don't have all
the
hours.
You spread it out over the year.
Yeah.
You don't, We get it in different areas.
That's the way our area is, though.
That's right.
And that's why
we're also getting... I'm sorry, go ahead, Karen.
I was just saying that the model is built, taking that into consideration.
But where does it show me that? In your plan, where does it show me that?
It's under the projections. No.
On this page 6?
Page 45 for the next 10 or 12 pages. And remember, this is just based on residents.
Well,
it is.
Okay. I think, to be honest, this was so big. I went over it like 3 times, and I think when I got to this section, my eyes literally glazed over.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's a difficult part. I mean, we've got a little bit of time here to present a huge project, but the main thing here is the commitment of what we're looking for. Is the money is not going to be released, until things are well along. And so, what you're asking today is to set aside this and say, this is a good enough project that we think it's a good one. No, it would have never gotten off the ground. there may be people that, well known in this community that didn't think we'd get it, and there's fortunately folks that did believe in it.
Well, let's add the PAC and the aquarium.
PAC and aquarium, they all started, the Performing Arts Center took 9 years, and, you know, it was a long time. That didn't happen overnight. And then I talked with the owner and the manager of the Air Museum, and they say this would be a great thing. If you had this thing from the bank, it would be a different, you know, be something we'd certainly look stronger at.
Well, so none of us are saying that it's not beautiful and a great thing. We just need to make sure it's going to be sustainable to support itself, because no one wants to end up with that empty facility out there not being able to be supported.
Well, you've got to remember, too, that fortunately, you know, the issue of how we're going to build it, it's a non-profit, so the tax base, we don't have taxes.
And then who's going to run it after it's built? Like, how will the non-profit run it? Or
professionals.
Yeah. It's like you have the aquarium, you have a president and staff. You know, same situation, right? So that you don't have a mortgage to pay, you don't have taxes to pay. You have electric bill to pay, and you have some staff when you're there. But, you know, that's what kills a lot of folks through that overhead.
Well, and that brings up another question I had on overhead. You had 461,000 personnel costs. How many employees is that, and how many full-time and part-time?
It's, I think, 15 full-time and 40 plus.
Part-time, yeah. And that can vary, too. You know, you have to do a projection, which is not, I don't think that's a generous projection, personally.
See, I was thinking it was low.
Oh, 400, how many people?
I give you an idea. I have 8 people, including me, that in my budget for payroll, so 7 full-time, 1 part-time. It's about $260,000 a year with the bank. So I was thinking that was low.
Little expertise you need with a facilities person and the chemical.
Well, we have all those people to identify. The majority of a lot of the staff is going to be the guys that sit there and help people get them out. They're not this high paid, you know, they're in the seasonal house, too. Not, you know.
Looking at the clock, it looks like we're down to about 5 minutes, and I want to get a minute in here to say thank you to all the volunteers that have been working on this and the professionals that have provided pro bono time in addressing the concerns that we need to replace the municipal pool. The community wants to see a prosperous tourism or hospitality industry. There are certain problems. There are other people asking for these monies. We are an advisory committee. We advise the city council. The city council will make the final decision. And the city council, as Jeff knows from recently being on city council, every year realizes revenue from the transit occupancy tax or the room tax.
Yeah, just to put a plug in outside of all this, I would hope you guys recommend to the city council that they set aside funds for this type of your committee every year and have it committed to. I think it's been a great thing. A lot of good projects can come up in the future. So they have monies that, if they aren't spent during the budget, they can be reapplied or put into this tourism grant fund. So that's just a side note.
And before we do, I have one more question on this page 46 again for your cash flow projections. You have City and Newport in there, $20,000 a month for revenues. Does that need to be taken out because that wasn't corrected?
I would assume so, yes.
I think you have to understand that this was a 2010 to 2013 projection. The business plan is going to need to be updated too. I mean, it's like a strategic plan. You need to update it probably every year. And you know, we have a process in place to do that. You know, so that will be happening in the near future. This is not carved in stone. You know, it's a flexible plan.
Is there anything?
Julie?
Yes.
We'll let you run the finances.
No. I don't want to.
Sure you do.
But
I'm going to retire.
What I see is that, you know, a project like this usually takes a big hitter and somebody with fantastic vision, and they say, this has got to go. You know,
with big
Brian mentioned Bill Bob, that was Guggenheim, came in on the backer of that happen. And so you are a committee, and I just feel like giving you a jab to get some energy and vitality and vision, you know, because this is that project, you know. And I would think if you don't do it, you would feel pretty, well, I don't know. But, you know, you have a chance here is what I'm saying, and you can step to the plate.
Can I tactfully add to that the thank you for, I imagine there's a lot of people around this table have been partly responsible for the arrival of a working sound system in the pack that would enable the symphony to be heard. But thank you. good decision.
Is there anything anybody else wants to say or any questions to be asked?
I'd like to say one short thing. And I'm not part of this group or that group. I'm kind of an observer. But I'm a retired business executive. I was president of five different companies, fairly large public companies. And you come to me with this project as a potential donor to it. You better have a feasibility plan, and you better have community involvement, because without that, I'm not going. If you're going to build something in any town, I don't care what it is, and you don't have good, solid support from the community, then you don't have a project. There are at least 80 people that can jump in your way and put blocks up. And as a business thing, don't like that. We just don't like it. And we don't like to put our money in there if it's not going anywhere.
The next Free Willy, or the, you know, it's like bringing a whale to a town.
Yeah.
Fantastic idea.
Anything else?
I'd be with no need.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you.
I'll get right there, a couple of things. I'm from the community at large, let's say, retired. And I know that when Free Willy was here, there was a significant draw to this area.
Yeah.
And it is really the vision to actually make Newport a destination, yeah, as it were.
Totally.
And to incorporate families here and something to do for the young people. No matter how we old gray-haired folks look at it, the young people are the life of Lincoln County. And if we don't have ways to keep them here,
amen,
offer them opportunity, even get their parents involved in volunteering as a group for this organization, we won't have it. And so I think it's important that the details and the dollars are tough, but the overall concept is absolutely critical, that we have a destination for folks on the coast in Lincoln County.
Amen.
I see the draw from Florence to Lincoln City and even beyond, certainly the Valley. The Valley comes over, and I've got kids that come over just to go to the museums and volunteer even at the museum. But if we can establish a draw card that is going to be a vision that says Newport is a destination, I think that Lincoln County begins to win.
Our park could be our next Natterland.
Mm-hmm. And that's financial, Julie.
Just show me the numbers. Did you want to tell them when they asked?
Well, yes. We are planning a meeting again, and we may need have questions and want you to appear, but we don't know if that's for certain. We're just letting you know that it might happen. Other than that, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
The committee should shut it down, but it is. The committee should wait a few minutes, please.
No, it still runs off the battery. Yeah. That's why I'm trying to shut it down.
Yeah,
it's just
I
making me nuts.
I had a
I
wonder what the world is. This one?
Yes.
That one, I touched it. I think it's cool. Still.
How are you? Okay.
Nothing to do with
any of this
stuff.
How are you?
I can barely.
Well, I understand.
All right. Where's your car?
Because I'm going to parties here, but I
don't care. That's how it's in our office. If you hit it once, it's going to stay on for me.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know they have cool stuff.
Yeah.
Why is it? Then I better not straighten them out, too.
Thank goodness it's the newer type.
That's the problem.
I was about to do that.
I know, we don't want to have any conflict.
Yeah.
These are things from the pool. You take one group, they're staggered, don't straighten them out.
Oh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Like, I'm going
there every year now. They come visit me.
Thank you.
I have my gazillion cousins.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad for you.
I put a thank you in that.
Need to get you unplugged here.
Yeah, I know. I know. It just has now.
Oh, so you put
it's
up here
now.
Yeah.
Finally.
I've seen you in this situation. You're very powerful.
I am not.
It's not one sheet.
Yeah, share it.
It's a set. So did you?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody left? Okay, so where do they go?
That's
thank
the city.
You. Yes, I have.
And this was from the city.
Jim from TV provided that.
Yeah, the city. I don't know who exactly we're going to ask.
There's some discussion about the record.
That
will
that.
As well, I personally feel everything should move everything. Mm-hmm.
We're okay. She's got all the rest.
I'll take care of that.
All right.
Thank you. Because this creates a regional place for meetings. Mm-hmm. No, I think everything's growing in this.
Yeah, I didn't bring my visual.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
These, by the way, are all the signature pages that we gathered up.
They have
them. Not in this. Not in this. This is what it looks like. You got to walk every street in town to get these.
And all the counties. You've got copies of them.
Yeah, they're in the back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care, Catherine. Everything.
Thanks, Peggy.
See you later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. At this point, I'd like to have a brief discussion, principally, first of all, scheduling for another date, and secondly, see what people are feeling about the various projects and whether they want to propose questions and bring people back.
Should we close that door at this time or not?
Well, we can.
We're still a public hearing.
It's a public meeting.
And anybody can
fill in?
Yeah.
I just wanted to give them an opportunity to leave, so because we didn't want to give them an opportunity of advance knowledge whenever the people didn't get it. Okay. I don't know what the time frame the city is, but last time we wanted to get it out so they would be able to use the money immediately during the summer. And none of these projects are going to quite be ready to do that, so we don't have a desperate timeline to do things quickly. Okay? We can do it if people are convenient. We just don't have to. Okay. Given the three projects, how much time do you think we're going to need for subsequent discussions?
At least another half day or a morning session.
Half day.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking a full half day. Maybe a couple hours is what I was thinking. But we should plan for several hours for sure.
Okay, morning or afternoon is preferable to people?
Morning. It depends on the day for me. Okay. But morning, let's go with morning. That's fine.
Okay. How much time in advance do you want to deal with it?
To have a meeting?
Yeah.
Probably as soon as we can while the information is still fresh.
Next couple of weeks or something.
Couple of weeks? Okay, what are people's schedules? Anything in the way?
In a calendar.
Do we have any timeline? Do we have to have prior notice?
Yes.
Okay, so what's our lead time?
Well, I need at least 3 days. I mean, we try to be as transparent as possible here.
Right, so. That's fine. So we could could do it next week, but we could wait until the week after next.
Yeah, we got 2 or 3 weeks out. Okay.
Because otherwise we'll start to forget a lot of stuff.
Well, I'm sure we will, but we need to see how much. If we're going to invite someone back, we probably should plan some questions and give them to them. And the question is whether we want to invite them back.
Well, I think we should have a meeting and discuss it and then ask questions and then invite them back.
Yeah. So you're talking about 3 more meetings?
Or 2 more meetings. Okay.
Possibly.
Let's look. Do we have a calendar?
Tuesday, February 5th is a week off.
That would be a very difficult day for our staff. I think I'm manager meeting in Salem.
I'm gone Tuesday. Can we do the week after that? Something like 12, 13?
Are we wedded to Tuesdays? Does anybody find another day preferable?
I'm out of town on the 11th and 12th.
Actually, I'm out of town on the 11th and 12th and 13th.
What about the 14th? Like a Thursday?
Or a Friday.
The Thursday is the 14th, I think. So what about Thursday the 14th?
Or Friday's fine.
Or Friday. Yeah.
Thursday the 14th would be better for me.
Okay. That's fine. So Thursday. Like 8:30 or something? Is that good?
8:30 or 9 o'clock? Is there any preferences? Ellie's objecting. We can start early.
8:30.
Yeah, I like early.
Gives us more time if we want to go to noon.
8:30 the 14th, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what if we were able to develop the agenda now so that I hear what you want?
Well, it's going to be discussion of the three.
Discussion of the three proposals.
Yeah,
basically.
That's pretty much it. And then from that, we'll determine whether we have questions.
We won't invite them back. Yeah.
So
for that day.
Discussion of three proposals and potential development of follow-up questions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If needed.
That's
why we'll call it potential.
Yeah.
You okay. Don't think we can do that now?
No, I think I need more time because I think all of these are going to take some lengthy discussion.
I think we are.
Or some of them won't. But.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility that after that meeting, if we don't need to invite it back, we could actually go right to the recommendation?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's possible because we're not required to invite them back. Okay. We may have sorted out. The question is, do we want to preliminarily get it on people's calendar a subsequent date just in case?
Because so we can. One of the things that you can do, like Randy just brought up, is you could, if you don't feel like you need to ask them back for additional questions, you could potentially develop your recommendations to council at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Remembering that this is $300,000, that's the max, but there's no obligation to fund any of the, or recommend funding for any of them if you don't feel they warrant it.
Right, we don't have to fund anybody.
Yeah, I would hope we can come to the recommendations next meeting. I mean, unless there's something really, really important.
Does anybody at this point think we need to have the people come back?
Need what?
My only
need people
thought
to come
was
back.
On the last, the aquatic park.
Mm-hmm.
They admitted that these numbers had changed. So do we give them an opportunity to get accurate figures so we can make a more informed decision, or were they, this was their opportunity and they didn't provide it? I mean, that's the...
I don't think they're going to come up with accurate figures. Yeah. They don't have...
I don't think that...
They're vague at this point. There is something for them to say that if they don't have some indication that the city is supporting them, that it's unlikely that others are going to pay attention.
Which is true.
It's true. But the question is what and how much we're willing to go forward on faith, because the worst it can happen to us is that they don't follow through, the money comes back to us, and there's a new round of grants. Okay, we don't lose the money if we don't give it to them until the building permit.
Right.
And we are saving some money because the pool is using transient tax and also is supported by general funds. So this is something where they actually are taking over a function that the city is doing.
And you guys are okay without seeing number of visitors and revenues from a like place like Great Wolf?
Well, I think we should have more information, but I'm not sure they're going to be able to come up with it in 4 weeks.
Well, put it in the context that last time I was the only one that voted for them at all and everybody else was nix. Mm-hmm. And so what would have changed in that regard, and then specifically what questions would need to come up around that?
I just think even if they did supply that, even if you look at their operating budget, their whole schedule of expenses, they're so far off in that and so naive, I guess I'll use that word.
Well, I agree, they're financially naive, and the question is, do you give an opportunity to... for them to do something, or do you just walk away? Because they're obviously going to have some issues with funding if we don't support them.
I wouldn't be, above giving them some symbolic support if that's what they're after.
Mm-hmm. I think they all said that they really needed to have the appearance of the city being behind them as community support.
Well, we need to think that. And I think some symbolic support, what they're asking for is a very specific number for a grant type thing. It's like they wanted to use it for the preliminary study specifically and have the money available to do that, and we're not going to do that.
Right, right.
I would prefer that maybe we do something in a more, you know, say 100,000 if we do it, and it's a nice round number. It's not specifically allocated, and they're not going to get it until certain things are in place, but at least they have something to work with.
So I propose we take it not to, we take it, we move along smartly, but not rush it. Meet in 2 weeks. We'll talk about it. If we have more questions, then we'll just have to meet again. If we don't, if we feel we got resolution, then let's just close it out.
Yeah.
I was thinking we could send emails out if we had more questions, but I think it's probably best just to wait until we convene.
Don't do that. You start getting into a problem with the public records law.
Yeah, and that's fine.
And we have to be public records.
So let's just do it all here.
Okay.
So we picked then the 14th at 8:30.
Okay.
For the morning.
Are there any preliminary opinions on the other two projects?
In regard yet to the aquatic park, it's my understanding that Astoria has an aquatic park.
Where's that?
Astoria.
Oh, Astoria.
And they would be more relevant to Newport than these areas that are much larger population bases, have a hot summer when people say we'd like to go swimming.
Could we obtain that information on our own without going back to them?
You probably can by calling the Astoria pool. It's not, in my mind, the same scale as what these folks are talking about. That's there is no lazy river. I've been in that pool multiple times. There are two pools. There's a slide. There's a hot pool.
The one in McMinnville would be a better comparison.
Yes.
But that's a comparison as a facility. It's not a comparison as to usage. The McMinnville has the advantage of being relatively close to the metropolitan areas, and it's relatively easy for people to go there for a day trip.
Yep, and they have hot summers.
Yeah, I mean, there's reasons why cooling off and so forth is attractive there. We don't have outdoor physical activities all year round here the same way, even though we do have some of it.
Yeah. Not mince words. I'm opposed at this time to giving any money to this aquatic park. Well, they can come back to the council any year when there's those millions of dollars of revenue from room tax and ask the city council for money. They've done it before.
I understand that we're not necessarily going to have another round of funding.
Correct.
We can encourage it, but we have this money now. We don't know if we're ever going to get more money. Mm-hmm. That might have to be demonstrated by success with our prior funding.
Mm-hmm. That's what Jeff suggested, and we continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
a request to city council.
Well, we can promote it and we can request it, but I think whether it really gets done is whether or not people feel that what we've already done has contributed.
Far does our responsibility go? I know we're looking at, are these viable, good projects and promote tourism and all of that. But they sat there and said, you know, you have to look at this conceptually and this design and look at all these places that they've become famous because they have this great building. I mean, how far does our job go to analyze the numbers, or do we just take a chance on that?
Well, I'll say functionally, I'm not sure we're taking much of a risk in the sense of our dollars, okay? Mm-hmm. If we give them money and they don't use them because they're not going to get it until they open the building permit, and they're not going to be able to start until they got all the money raised because they already know that they can't do halfway in the project, then our money really doesn't disappear. It's just symbolic in a lot of ways. What really becomes a problem is operational, and whether or not, I don't really conceptualize people are going to race here because we have a fantastic building and they just want to see it. Wow! Heartbeat. I mean, he's enthusiastic, and they may end up getting that, but in the beginning, you that's really not what's going to happen. And there is going to be something you're going to have. You have a tremendous tourist trade coming into the aquarium, which is our big draw. And some of those people, yeah, probably will go to the water park. They probably won't think about going to a little municipal pool, particularly one that's ancient and run down. So they've got something to what they say. It's just they're still very soft on the number issues and really being realistic about it. So
I'm going to have to get going.
Okay.
Is there anything
else?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
On the 14th.
Yeah.
Did you want these for the records?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
People might want to come by and borrow the OMSI materials temporarily to look at them earlier.
That's fine. Did you know Greg Smoll, the architect? There is. He is so famous.
There is.